טוב, אני מאוד שמח שיש לי הזדמנות.
Okay, I'm very happy to have an opportunity to speak here in Colombia. I'm here for the first time. I believe that it's a very special country. I've never received such a welcoming as I got yesterday. Still very excited. I'm already sold. I'm willing to come anytime.
תודה רבה לכם.
Thank you. I was told that it should be worthwhile talking about the group and connection in the group, and as this should be the main topic, and indeed it is the main topic, because this is our entire correction, the connection. We learn from the wisdom of Kabbalah that it has appeared in the ancient Babylon 5,000 years ago, when there was a crisis between humans. They felt that they can't get along with each other, and therefore they wanted to build this tower up to the skies, a tower of their ego. And they saw that they can't survive that way. So they started searching for what's happening to them. Because in a very short time, in just a few dozens of years, within one generation, they were at first connected as one family, and they were only approximately 3 million people. We're talking about all of humanity back then. That was the whole of humanity. And all of a sudden, within 10 or 20 years, everything changed. They came from the state of love and connection and mutual understanding as in one tribe. They came to isolation, alienation, hatred. Just as we know that the way from love to hate is really short, and could be the other way around as well. However, when they felt that contrast, conflict between them, that mutual rejection and hatred, they didn't know what to do about it, because the whole society began to disintegrate. And then they discovered that their ego especially intensifies and separating them. And that it happens deliberately for them to overcome that and go above that hatred, above that separation. On the one hand, we have this great ego, and on the other hand, on top of that, we nevertheless have to be connected. If at first we were as one family, helping each other, we had a reason to live for the children, the next generation, and we were helping each other, helping the needy, helping the poor, the elderly, like in a family, you know, everyone helping the other. Now they realized that they need to not to pay attention to their ego, because it's impossible to eliminate it. Instead, with it, they have to achieve connection, and this is not simple. it is difficult to a person to be as if, you know, like a diplomat, in the sense that inside I realize that I don't like you. I don't like your face. I don't like your nature, characteristics. Your friends are not exactly my friends, perhaps. And in general, I see sort of the same attitudes from you towards me. But this is something that nature develops within us deliberately, so that with it we'll be able to live with love. So on the one hand, we have to understand that there is a force of nature that we have. It's not me hating you or you hating me. Rather, there's this someone, special someone, that manages us, directs us in a way that we are in conflict, putting us in conflict. And we have to let that be and restrict that, cover that, not pay attention to that, and begin to relate to each other independently, not by that force of hatred. Rather, grow the force of love and connection within us. And then we'll have as if two forms of relation. The lower form, where by nature we're egoists, we hate each other, repel each other, don't want to understand each other. On the other hand, we have what we build, which is a level of connection, love, what's called the covenant, as one family. What do we get from this? They discovered back then, that's where the first books of Kabbalah came from. They discovered that if we build this level of relationship, then we begin to feel the other force in nature. There are two forces in nature. Two forces. Plus and minus, north and south, and east and west, pressure and vacuum and heat and cold and so on. There are always opposite phenomena. There can't be one single phenomena. Besides the phenomena that is within us, which is the constantly growing ego. And we grow and grow in our ego. Let's say this is our ego. So it grows and grows to the point that we reach a certain threshold, which is called the Tower of Babel, which is no longer bearable. Then, out of the pressure, problems, troubles, we start searching. What do? Then we begin to discover that we must grow the other force, the opposite force, like this. One must be opposite the other. And if we discover that opposite force, through that we come to discover that other force of nature. Once we begin to build between us, above that force of hatred, which comes from our nature directly, when we begin to build the force of love here, we start seeing that it isn't some artificial force within us. rather, it comes from nature, that actual force. It's like, say, when we play with something, and all of a sudden we see that's not a game, that's real. It's like children who play in being grown-ups, and they actually become grown-ups. They evolve by the game. Here too, it's the same. If we play with being in love towards each other, connected to each other, we'll discover that we are really so. And we'll begin to feel that there's not only an evil force in nature, but a good force too. And then we discover the two forces. And this is basically the goal. Because then, using these two forces, we begin to see. You can't see if you only have white or only black. But if we become comprised of both forces, the contrast between them, the various forms between them, the hatred and the distance, and with it love and connection and closeness and so on, that makes us see new images from the combination of these two forces. And the images that we see from these two forces, hatred and love, that become connected, they are as if the images of the next world, the upper world. Then we discover the true reality in that fashion, the purpose of creation, which is what we need to achieve, that true perception, and live with both forces. And in between these two forces, we begin to work. So, we have some negative force and then some positive force. And what we are concerned about is only growing the force of love. But accordingly, the other negative force of hatred and separation grows within us. So, they grow together. And we begin to manage and govern these two forces with what's called the middle line. It's as though we are riding a horse with two reins. In this way, we can manage our beastly nature, our horse, so to speak, and lead it to the goal. Because if I govern these two forces, then I'm in control of my life. Because all of life is built from plus, minus, and their interrelations. Whether it's in the atom, you can find there the plus and minus, the neutrons and the positrons and so on. And the living living organisms that emit and absorb, our body that emits what's bad for it and absorbs what's good for it and so on. These two forces working at every level create balance and give us a sense of livelihood on every level. Both in our corporeal life and in our inner life. And when we begin to connect with each other in that way, where everyone receives and gives to the others, in a way that's good for the whole human society as a single organism, then it turns out that we are like cells that are connected in a single body, just like in our physical body. And then we begin to feel the life of that body. Just like no single cell can live by itself. Or an organ, whether it's the liver, the heart, the lungs, etc. And only through their reciprocal connection, they build the system called body. The heart doesn't work for itself, neither the lungs or the liver, etc. But when each one is working for the entire organism, then the body exists and lives. And just as we can measure in medical tests and look at the balance between all our systems of the body, in the same way, if we build this sort of connection where everyone receives and gives in harmony with all the others, then we'll be connected as one. And that connection as one body is something that creates its own level of life. So then we begin to feel a higher level of life. Just like how we live our life with the cells in our flesh and blood body living as one, and we feel a higher level, some level that's higher from our flesh, in a similar way, if we all unite and be in harmony and balance, we'll come to feel life on a higher level. And that's what we call spiritual life. And this life is unlimited by the body. Just like the human within us, the person is above the body, we'll start feeling a level of life that is beyond our physical bodies. A life that doesn't depend on the life of the body. A life that is above time, space, motion, and all those limitations. Eternal life. While living here in this world in our day and time. This is in essence the wisdom of Kabbalah. It's about how to connect human beings in such a way that they will control both forces, the negative force and the positive force, and will rise higher than this level of life, which is simply our beastly life, because we only live to serve our body. In order to realize this message, there is a method, which is simple. It's a work in a group. You don't need to take the 3 million people who were in Babylon and discovered the method. It didn't work for them also to apply the method with all 3 million people that existed back then. Rather, a small group detached from the rest and started working on it. And we're doing the same thing. We are connecting in a group. Well, and since today we don't live in a small Babylon, rather all across the globe, so we connect in groups that are in our local cities where we are physically close to each other. And so, we have to determine according to what rules do we connect to each other. And as we said before, how do we play in having the right relation to each other from the positive side, according to the negative side that unfolds within us, so that in balance between them, between the positive and negative, we'll find spiritual life in the middle. So, since Babylon, from 5,000 years ago, these rules were established. The rules of connection, of love, of integration, participation, identification, concession, seeing the friend as greater, although in my egoistic eyes, in everything that I see, I don't see the friend. I don't want to be connected to the friend. And we connect to the group only on one condition. We don't need anything else but that, which is that we all want to discover spiritual life. Nothing else is important. All the rest belongs to this world, to our ego. And we simply don't take it into account. We go through arguments and misunderstandings and confusions. He did this to me, I did that to him, and so on. All this doesn't matter. It's actually the opposite. The more negativity you have, the greater work of transforming that to the opposite positive force will have. And then in between these two forces, we'll find juicier, greater life in spirituality. That's what we do in the group. So, let's read a few sentences written about this by Kabbalists. Why are they called Kabbalists? Which means from the word to receive. Because they receive that discovery of spiritual life through their work. They acquire more positive force, more of the positive force, and more of the sensation of the upper world. So he writes this. This was written by my teacher, Rabash.
We have gathered here to establish a society for all who wish to follow the path of the method of Bala Sulam to discover the purpose of creation, how to rise to climb in the degrees of men and not to remain as an animal. Meaning, we don't want to stay connected according to whatever we feel like from nature. Rather, we want to be as the upper nature, truly connected. And that this is why we have to have a group. This is why all these people who want to discover the goal must come to a group. And as many as there are people who are against that, who hate that, when I hear that, don't want to accept that, and I also know that about myself, And we have such in every group that it's very hard for them. They don't even understand. What do they need this for? What do they need others for? Precisely, it's the opposite. The more a man bows his head and accepts this law that you have to be connected in order to discover in that connection, like between the cells in the body, that sensation of life, then in the end he gains this life. This is why he writes to us again. My teacher Rabash writes, thus, those who have agreed among them to unite in a group understood that there isn't such a great distance between them in their opinions, in the sense that they understand the necessity of working in love of others. Therefore, each of them will be able to make concessions in favor of the others, and they can unite around that. From make yourself a rab and buy yourself a friend. We can't connect without shining our eyes, like in a family. It's well known. We have many disagreements. I with my wife, she thinks this way, I think that way, but nothing you can do about it. We, as if, put that aside. Do everyone agree with me? Yes, see. Okay, see. Good. But here, in our group, the work is more refined. We don't just put it aside. We don't forget about it. On top of that, on top of constantly feeling the contradictions between us, we keep holding it on the inside, underneath the restriction and the masach, and we build love above that. So it's actually the opposite of what we have on the inside. Therefore, there is here constant work in self-guarding of how I relate to the others, and there cannot be any indifference, either hatred or love, either hatred or love. It's not simple at all, it's very exhausting. But it's like children who love this game. They like the games that they play, and they constantly want to engage in that. We need to reinforce one another so that none of us will forget that all of our work is above the hatred. Love above hatred. Constantly, in such a way, we exist. And the more I have collisions, I should be happier about it. I am given more work. And then the time that I have to work hard in that is shortened. Each one's work is shortened. And then each one who works in such a way is giving an example to the others, and each one helps the others, and then we begin to connect into a single body that fills the spiritual life. Therefore, he writes again, my teacher writes, we must remember that the society was established solely on the basis of achieving love of others, and that this would be the springboard for the love of God. This is the Rabash concerning love of friends. The Creator means this very life that we attain in the connection between us, that shared love between us, that is revealed in this harmony all at once, is called the force of the Creator. In such a connection, we reach a state called Arvut, mutual guarantee, that as in our body, each part, each organ is responsible for supplying whatever the whole body needs in order to live. Similarly, in our society, we need to reach a state where each one contributes to the society as much as he can for the collective life of the society. And he writes the following, Bala Sulam writes the following. In this general, with this collective arvut, responsibility, each member of the nation was liberated from the whole, each one of the whole group of humanity was liberated from worrying about the needs of his own body and could keep the mitzvah, love thy friend as thyself, in the fullest measure, and give all that he had to any needy person. Why? Since he no longer has any fear, any self-concern, that he has to constantly think about himself and care for himself, since he knows for certain that everyone around him worries about him, care for him, as much as he is concerned with them. So then each one stops thinking about himself. This is like, let's say, a baby who's in the hands of his mother. He's certain that he's in a best possible place, that whatever he would need, the mother would do anything, everything for him. And that in such a state, we don't care, we're not concerned with ourselves. Did we forget childhood? You don't remember how it was when you were children? Oh, it's much more than that. It's truly so, because, and this is in an obligatory manner, but if you try that in a group, if each of the friends around you would begin to show to one of the friends that they care for him in everything, he would stop thinking about himself. It's a law. And then in such a way, we begin to feel that we are above this world, above our concerns, above our calculations, above everything. Each one is concerned about the others, but he is free of worrying about himself. This is called that we put our ego to death. That's why arvut, this mutual obligation, puts the ego to death. A man does not think about his own life. He, as if, is not in his body. He rises in his sensation above this life, and he feels the upper reality. Bala Sulam says, what is the Arvut? It can be resembled to two people who are on the same boat. If one of them begins to drill a hole in the boat below him, makes a hole in the boat, then it doesn't matter, even if it's only him drilling a hole, yet everyone would drown in the sea. Meaning, mutual guarantee, mutual responsibility must be general, collective, total. And this is why we need to reinforce this, the friends in the group, to give them an example, to awaken them, to strengthen them in that. And here, what helps us is another great principle. Where do we receive these two forces of nature from? The force of the ego that is constantly evolving from the Big Bang and onwards, it keeps developing our universe, our life on top of this planet, brings us the evolution from, pushes evolution from the still to the vegetative to the animate to the speaking. And the other force that we acquire from nature, to the extent that we play among us in the group and we start feeling that other force, where do these two forces come from? These two forces come from a single origin called the general nature or the creator. That this nature radiates, projects these two forces with which it builds the forms of the still vegetative and animate through one egoistical force and the form of the speaking from the two forces. This is why the degree of the speaking is called Adam, human. Adam in Hebrew, because he resembles the Creator. Dome Laboe. And we, in the end, that hold these two forces and we develop through them, we come to know that third force, the foundation, the basis for the whole of nature. And we feel that only it actually operates. And we then come and start operating like him. This is what we attain through the connection in the group, that between us, among us, in the group, he is revealed. And therefore, we don't just act, play in the group, in being good children, or we want to come with education for the whole world, so that everyone would connect in such a nice, good manner. Rather, we by that discover the upper force. And Bala Sulam also writes about that, that what a man sees, that there are things in the world that deny the higher household, that as if it does not exist. As we now see, we are in a group, we fight in a family as well, nations, various societies, everyone are in under this force of the ego. We understand that it is this upper force that is orchestrating all of this, manipulating all of this, and it's not us by ourselves, because that's his desire, that we would grow up. That on the left side, he's giving to us constantly the forces of rejection, the forces of the ego, self-love. But that too is in order to push us forward. Meaning, from the beginning, in our nature, in the nature of the whole world, there are unique forces that separate us, that as if spoil our good life, so that we would bring harmony. And then, when we bring in this harmony into the corruptions that he has created on purpose, we study him. We begin to come to know him. We begin to resemble him. Those people who do that, they are called Adam, Hadomeh Laboreh, Adam, resembling the Creator. And he writes even more. We need to believe that everything that happens in our world, with us and around us in general, it all comes from his providence. And there are no coincidences. Rather, we should believe, for the meanwhile, we have to simply accept that everything that takes place, it all comes from a single origin. That's, for the meanwhile, we need to accept that. Later, we actually discover, in the moment that we build between us, the connected society. So, in summary, what do we need to do between us, among us? And again, my teacher writes about that. If we must, in practice, arrange our correct life in a group, then he says the following. Each one should try to bring the group the spirit of life, not the opposite, which happens in many cases. And hope and inject energy in the group so that each of the group will be able to tell himself, now I'm starting a clean slate in my life. In other words, before he came to the society, he was disappointed with his progress. He wanted to discover the goal of life, the purpose of life, but he wasn't able to. But now, the group has filled him with life and hopefulness. Thus, through the group, he obtained confidence and the strength to overcome his own ego, because now he feels that he can achieve wholeness. The force to go forward, that we can receive only from the environment. We study with you what does it mean to have free choice. Only the environment builds the person. Therefore, we have no choice, rather only the connection, and from it we'll take all the forces. In it, we will feel the upper world. Therefore, each friend is obligated to extol the virtues of each friend as though they are the greatest in the generation, although each one of them is great, wise. And then if I relate to the group in such a way that they are great, then they operate on me, affect me in such a way with their opinions, and I rise. I ascend. This is a little bit of what I wanted to say. I hope that I haven't confused you. I have more here, but, well, we'll leave that for the meanwhile. We have plenty. If you have any questions, please go ahead. So, who's in charge of questions?
Over the years, as I study, I had doubts with respect to the responsibility towards the friends.
Yes, Norma. Can you translate?
Over the years.
No, let him finish and then give me just one sentence. That's enough.
In short, what he says is that in terms of mutual responsibility with the group, this is something he can cope with, but there's a gap between this and what happens with people outside. Still, he wants to know how to influence people in general society if he behaves according to mutual guarantee.
We behave according to the Arvut, the mutual guarantee, only within our own small group, where each one understands the other. What is he doing this for? Why? Why should I make concessions towards the friend? Why do I have to rise? Why do I have to rise above my hatred? Why do I need to bond with him, hug with him? How can we all hug and sing? Whereas in the external society, I don't do that. They'll think that I'm unusual. Not like everyone. So first, in the external society, I have to publicize this method, so that they would understand that through this we are correcting the world, which is deteriorating and deteriorating through the ego into scary, dangerous places. Violence, divorce, everything that we have now in the world, how can we overcome that? When I was a child, I remember that I was told in school that the teacher said, "We envy you. We live a harsh life, and you're going to live in a world which would be much more beautiful. You will work not 8 hours a day, but rather only 4 hours a day. You will be more free, more courteous. The world will be a better place, because the technology and everything else is developing in order to make life better." Since then, let's say almost 60 years went by. If they would have seen this world as it is now, they would have thought that back then it was much better. Meaning, the society, the social life, I'm not talking about the standard of living. The standard of living has gotten higher. But people do not feel themselves as happier. So, we do have a way to get to people, what to speak to them about. And especially regarding education, because we feel sorry for our children, that we leave them, our children, our grandchildren. I mean, what kind of a world do we leave them? It's not worthwhile to give birth to children. This is what I hear from many people. And the entire problem is, with the human species. So if we first bring the method of education and an explanation of why we're not so happy in this life, after that you can approach the connection. But first we need a lot of dissemination. Please.
Well, first of all, he says good morning, and his question is, as a veteran student, are we supposed to be like a father towards the beginners who don't know exactly what we're talking about? Is this a correct role, like a father?
Yes, each one, with respect to his friend, he should be both as a father and also present himself as a baby towards a grown-up, and also as a friend, meaning as equal. We can relate to a person on three planes. From above towards him, from below towards him, and equally. And this is both with respect to the newcomers as well as with respect to the veterans. But certainly, towards the newcomers, we must give them the opportunity to enter the group and to help them in everything. We need to realize that there aren't here any newcomers, veterans, those who are strangers or those who are close to us. We attain the spiritual world amongst us. And if a person comes he comes due to the upper providence, because of that force that we talked about, the force of the Creator. Therefore, we must accept him in such a way. The Creator brings each and every friend to us, to me, and I have to relate to them accordingly. He gives me those friends in order for me to bond with them. And specifically with them, in that connection between us, we will discover him. This is how I need to see each friend. And then, out of that, I feel importance for him, that specifically the Creator selected them for me in order for me to bond with them and to discover him. So I no longer look at his face and his character. I don't look at anything. This is what the upper force thinks that it is best for me, in order for me to rise above myself and to connect with him. That's it. This is the work. It's hard work. We always want to run away from it. And in this work, there is a great room for women. Usually we say, women can have love, connection. Well, it's different than the way it is among the men, but yes, they can have it. When they connect, in order to force the men, like towards children in a family, to be in the connection, in friendship, this is what the force of the woman must do. And not to look at themselves as if standing on the side. Because if the men would not connect, no one is going to have spiritual force. So, there is here a very clear role for the woman in connecting with the other women in order to shut the men in and to force them to be connected, and in that connection to attain spirituality. And ladies, don't run away from that. I'll say even more. The men would not be able to connect unless there would be this force of the woman that is surrounding them and is forcing them. Alright? So, I'm waiting to see that from you. No, we need to, like in a family, to realize that we all depend on one another, and how should we organize this life so that we will attain what we need, what we want. We're all grown-ups here, we're not children. Please, if we have more time, I don't know.
There was a request to just shorten the questions. Thank you. She says that throughout her life she went through all kinds of methods and philosophies that spoke about love of others. And what we discover in our time is actually the opposite things, hatred and wars and bad things in life. So the question is whether there's something practical to do by which we can really connect, even just for 1 minute, to be fueled, like a car that needs to be fueled.
Indeed, throughout history there were many methods of connection and participation and coming closer and even love. None of them worked. None of them succeeded. And after a while, they usually discovered even greater hatred towards one another. The wisdom of Kabbalah was concealed throughout this entire time. And even nowadays, it is revealed bit by bit, because people haven't yet exhausted all the dreams that they have, that they can somehow reach the connection. And the wisdom of Kabbalah is waiting for the time that people would finally realize, one, that they cannot exist without connection in the global and integral world, on one hand. On the other hand, they cannot connect. And that means that they cannot keep existing. So what do we do about that? Where is the method that nonetheless can connect us? Because in a world which is all interconnected, and where everybody hates one another, this situation usually brings destruction, a general world war, and total annihilation. And people are now speaking about that openly, as if, well, that what can we do? If it happens, it happens. The issue is that all of the methods, and I engage in them, and I've spoken about it many times, and the Kabbalists have written about it. All the methods are built on a single force, on the ego. How can we destroy it in order to instead be under the good force, with a good connection? And because you cannot destroy the ego, then nothing comes out of that. Only for a short period of time, like in a family. If we acquire the other force, corresponding to the ego, against the ego, we don't destroy the bad. Rather, we add the good force to it, so that we operate with two forces. We acquire a new force that is in nature, and that is the concealed force. It is revealed in us, and then through the two forces, we manage our lives. This is a method that has never existed before. Why? Because we, the Kabbalists, have waited, and I, as if speaking their name, on their behalf. The Kabbalists have waited for a time when people would despair from all the methods, from all the philosophies, and would realize that nothing is helping. Nothing works. And then the wisdom of Kabbalah is revealed. But again, what does it mean it's revealed? Are you trying to implement to realize these things in the groups. First in the groups, later in wider circles. You need to check that. You say, where can you see that? There were such groups throughout history that discovered the Creator in such a way. And they wrote the books for us. In what way, which way do you discover Him? How do you discover these two forces? We call them the two lines. And in between them, we advance. We call that the middle line. That's the entire method of Kabbalah. They wrote about that. They implemented that. Do you want to do that? Please, go ahead. Connect in a group and start doing it. Do the same work that they did. Besides, you have to realize that if in a group you meet those conditions that love covers all crimes, and people in the group would discover the spiritual life, you would feel that. And if some nice lady comes from the side and would ask, I want to see what it's like, she would not be able to see it. It is felt only by one who is in it. So start participating in that, in practice, and you will discover. We will try to go deeper into this throughout this entire time. We now have 2 weeks. A week before the Brazil convention, then another week before the New York convention. And here, too, we're going to speak about it more. Also in Chile, it's a sequence that I'll try to make it so that it would push us into the realization, the practice, so that we would complete the issue of realizing the conditions that reveal the upper world to us. We'll do it together. Thank you very much. And will we have another meeting?
Yes, there's a meeting with the 99% audience later. And we can have another 10 minutes for the listen. They give us 10 more minutes. But just one sentence, Norma. It's impossible the way they ask.
There's a problem with the microphones. How does it affect? What effect does it have if somebody comes to the group who has a different method, and how can we cope with that?
A person who comes to our group must subjugate himself and try wholeheartedly to forget about his own method. There's no other choice. There's no fights here, there's no parliament here, there's no many opinions. This is a group that is founded on very clear principles and it follows them only. If he comes in with all his heart and soul, to surrender, to submit himself to whatever is in the group, then he's accepted. And if not, he's not. If we see in a short period of time, that he still holds his other opinions, we take him out of the group. A group means those who have one goal and one method to reach the goal, no other way. Because the group works on unity, and that's the only way to do it. Meaning there are many other groups, that's fine. One can find himself wherever he feels good. But the group is not to sort out whether it's this or that or something else. No, the group has its own rules, its bylaw. Everything is very clear. It all exists for 5,000 years. All these things can be proven from above. And there can't be any argument about that. It's either you're in or you're out. That's it. So, there can't be something like, no, but he thinks differently. Or he comes with his own method and is trying to put that in the group and introduce that to the group. That's a different story then. It's a different group. I don't work with any people like that. When I did my PhD, for instance, and in other cases, I've studied many methods. I've met many different spiritual leaders. All I know is one thing. And everyone has their own way. Fine, that's okay. But in spirituality, there can't be compromises. Everyone on his own. I'm not going to say that he's wrong or he's right and less or more. But I'm saying if this is the path you're taking, be in it and succeed. We have rules, bylaws, articles that explain everything that we do, the structure of the upper worlds, the map of this world, the whole spiritual ladder through which we ascend to the purpose of creation. Everything is very accurate. It's just like laws of physics, laws of nature, and there's nothing to argue about. And argue could be in a place where there is something unknown. Then you think this, I think that. Here we're talking about science. And you can't argue in science. If you want to follow it, please. If you don't, and you want to go according to your own imagination or culture or tradition, his place is, he has his own place, and I respect everyone. But it's just a different thing. It's not the same path. That's it. I'm not saying that the wisdom of Kabbalah is the true thing for all. No. Those who feel it, we say it's just 1% of the people. They can come. The rest, no. To the rest, all we want to say is, let's bond with love. And that's it. We don't draw them into our groups. We just want everyone to be better off. That's it. When we're talking about the 99% of the people, we could be involved with many different methods. And every person could take according to his nature, could take what fits him. as long as you reach connection. But in this group of the 1% of the people, there can't be any argument. It's not that it depends on us. All of this is written in advance. Besides, if you come to the wisdom of Kabbalah, do you want to change something in the wisdom? Who are you? You understand what's going on with it? What's happening in it? Are you a Kabbalist? It's just like I won't go into some other method and go in there and start disseminating my stuff. No way. Never. I had opportunities to lecture to the Masons, the Catholic Church, I was in Japan there with some guru there, with the Sufis from the Islam, and philosophers for sure, all kinds of methods. But I never enter their territory. We talk. We can talk about the this and that method. And, you know, there's a pluralistic approach. I'd like to say that I'll happily meet you again. We'll have more opportunity, another opportunity, right? Good, great. Okay, so let's sing something together. Thank you. Gracias.
Cantando juntos esta sinfonía, la primavera tornándose en verano, la mariposa, la luz rauda volado, y como el hombre que a casa ha regresado, unos con otros nos hemos conectado. Despierten.
de una vez. Vengan, vengan, vengan los aplausos. Yala, yala, hermanos, unidos de una vez. Nuestra alegría al cielo alcanzará. Yala, yala, hermanos, despierten de una vez. Vengan, vengan, vengan los aplausos. Yala, yala, hermanos, unidos de una vez. Nuestra alegría al cielo alcanzará.
Mundo, nos estamos para el desayuno.